Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
If you were here last week or caught up online, you heard Bobby and Millie speak about our kids here at NC4 and how we should view and appreciate them as a significant part of our church body. Today, we're going to be looking more at connecting to the church and connecting to each other through the avenue of serving. We're going to be talking through two ways we have available to connect here at NC4. My wife, Sarah, and I are part of the Connect leadership team. Sarah oversees Connect events, and I oversee serve teams. For those of you that may not have heard the term serve team before, it's the same thing as a ministry team. So if this still sounds foreign, here are a few examples of some active serve teams. Ushers, worship, Sunday school, coffee prep and teardown, and after service hosting. I hope this helps make things a little bit clearer as we dive deeper this morning on this topic, since most of my focus will be on the role of service and how we, through serving, can form strong connections relationally. We're going to be looking at a passage in Romans today, so if you'd like to kind of get a little prepped as you flip or look, however you get to your Bible now, we'll be doing that. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every person that's here, Lord, and the fact that you have a heart for connection. And Lord, we're going to learn more about that today. So just continue to speak through me and open the opportunity for people to hear you more than even me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, we'll be reading from Romans 12. So if you're going to flip or look, go for it. If not, the text will be up behind me on the screen. So here's some quick context for you as we get started in Romans 12. So Paul is nearing the end of his message to the Christians in Rome, kind of talking a lot about Christian life and what that looks like. In chapter 12, everything kind of transitions from at least a little bit more theoretical to much more practical. So if you're like me and constantly looking for how things apply, you're in for good stuff today. So Romans 12, starting in verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. This image of the human body is one that all of us can relate to. Your eyes have the role of seeing, your hands can touch, your mouth is for taste, and your nose is for smelling. Considering we have an almost 5-month-old at home, I have grown to appreciate all aspects of smelling recently. So I'm extremely grateful that he's cute. In the same way that body parts all have specific roles, each of us can serve a different purpose. Everyone has a job, but not everyone has the same job. We are all designed to do things in different ways. But our individual strengths, skills, and opportunities create a unified body, highlighting these differences. So picking it up now at verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace God has given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Note how this says we are to exercise them. With your gift, the expectation is that you will use it and not simply just have it. Exercise also kind of alludes to the fact that you should be practicing and repeating it, so don't lose that idea. Back to verse 6. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or if he teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Also, note that after all of these gifts, it says, in his, which simply seems to imply that's in the doing of those gifts, not just the gifting, which supports the above concept of exercising your gift. We are not called to know our gifts and let them remain private. Picking up again at verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, be genuine. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. All this means care about the people around you in this life. Some you may find challenging, but they're there for a reason. So don't miss the chance to press in defining what that reason is. In verse 3, we read, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Sometimes serving equals a measure of faith to allow God to show up, enter in, and renew the time that may feel lost otherwise. But just as a reminder, choosing to walk in your gifting and direction that God is calling should never feel like you're losing. It should actually do the opposite, which is just bring a sense of refreshment. Some people back out of serving or simply say no because the job may not be very attractive or seem like a lot of fun. Yet, serving in this very practical and necessary way of helping a Sunday morning run successfully can sometimes be just a little bit challenging with those other ones that may not get as much visibility. For example, checking to see that the church is clean versus prayer at the cross. The notion that any job is more important or any one volunteer is better off could not be further from the truth. Churches sometimes struggle filling these jobs that have a little bit less visibility because people don't understand the impact, they don't feel called in this area, or can't see the benefits of their work. You need to know something very crucial with this. God sees it. God provided these giftings and these abilities, and He does not make mistakes. God can do more through a cup of coffee after church than you can possibly imagine. Allow Him the opportunity to move and heal others through the gifts He has given you. Also, to take note, some of you may not feel called to set up and tear down communion, but you are called to serve the church. And if you have the ability to and can sacrifice just a little bit of time, sometimes it's not so much about the calling as it is about simply just helping. We've discussed how serve teams can open the possibility for God to move in those who receive the service. But what about the impact they can have on you, the one who's actually serving? Being plugged in yourself is a critical step to your overall growth. In the same way that God can move through others because of service, He can and does move through the folks who are serving as well. You hear more about this in a video in a little bit, but there's a lot of locations and avenues for us to connect here at NC4. We have the booklets in the back that kind of describe, the four major areas of connection that we have. All that to say that the infrastructure for connection is established. It's now on us to step up, and get plugged in. The Connect directory has all of our currently established areas to get involved and get to know other people. However, if you have a passion for a topic or ministry that is not shown on the directory, start it. If you see a gap, speak up and fill it. If God is asking you to start a new team, get started. At the beginning of this passage, there is mention of the many parts that make up the church. This is calling out to each and every one of you. For example, within our church body on a Sunday morning, which, for example, this morning, there are a variety of serve teams that participate each week, from the opening of the door to the closing of the door and everything in between, to make sure everything runs smoothly and allow for God to move in the lives of all of us here. Let's break this down. A typical Sunday morning involves at least 10 different serve teams, which equals many parts. There are greeters, there are ushers, the worship team, Sunday school teachers and aides, audiovisual team, prayer team, service leaders, building openers, coffee setup and cleanup, and after service hosts. And some Sundays, like today, we have communion, which is another set of people, or the team that makes this building look great all year, and especially during the holidays. These teams add up to somewhere between 39 and 48 different people serving on a given Sunday. There are roles other than this one up at the pulpit today, and most of them that you're not even fully aware of. Where our weekly attendance right now is hovering in between 250 and 300, which means that a pretty large part of their congregation, roughly a fifth, or one in five, is serving each other on a given week, which brings us to our first point. Serve teams provide a practical opportunity to be the hands and feet to others in the church body. I'll say it again. Serve teams provide a practical opportunity to be the hands and feet to others in the church body. There's a huge variety of roles and skills when you look at serve teams as a whole. Some are the first face that people see entering the building. Some interact and teach the many children that we have been blessed with. Others are more technical, like the people back in the booth, ensuring that people can see the words of the songs that we're singing. Others literally make sure that when the toilets flush, it doesn't create a pond in the fellowship hall. Some may not get it, but it's a very unfortunate reality. Elmer's smiling because he gets it. Each of these jobs require very different skill sets from one another. There are even some of you right now that have the skills and talents to be on a serve team that may not be doing so just yet. But why serve? What's the reason to give up more of your time or to add something to your already hectic schedule and lives? Well, for starters, the Lord asks us to sacrifice for his purposes when we're being honest, and when we're being honest about these things, he tends to show up and bless the obedience versus increasing the heaviness of adding another thing. Connection is really important to us as humans. We aren't designed to try to do life all by ourselves on our own. I'll leave the details and more information on that, on the value of connection, to my wife in a few minutes, and Bob next week, but this brings us to our next point. When you are serving with others, there is a large opportunity to connect to each other. Use it. We've been working with serve teams over the last year to try to give them a little bit deeper connection on top of just serving. We have asked that before teams begin serving, they spend 5 minutes to pray together. The Holy Spirit has an amazing way of moving through that time and bringing people together through the simple act of prayer. It does not have to be an hour-long meeting, although you could if you wanted to. The goal is to use the fact that people are working together on something as the platform. Each person serving should know at least something about the others around them and be able to care for one another when something comes up, even if it's simple. We have also been asking serve teams to try to meet or get together outside of their roles and outside of their normal serve time once a quarter. This all promotes a stronger church body. So, serve team leaders, if you haven't already started to incorporate prayer into your serve team time together, or taken the time to get together as a group, hopefully God has moved through these words to convince you that it's a good thing and that he's called us to it. Now hear me as I say this. It's not always the most beautiful thing when you're dealing with other people. Connection is not always easy. Sometimes it feels like a fight, other times it may feel impossible. However, do not lose heart. There's a reason God created it, and that desire in us, and that need in us. Which brings us to my final point. Each person has been created in God's image. When you take time to know or care about someone other than yourself, you are honoring God's handiwork. This might be one of the most important things and something that tries to, you know, penetrate my heart on a daily basis. Each person has been created in God's image. When you take time to know or care about someone other than yourself, you are honoring God's handiwork. So don't mistake connection for a burden. There's a larger purpose and a reason you should care about those around you. It's a form of worship when you honor God and appreciate his amazing creation. Next up is my amazing wife, Sarah. So, by the way, I'm not going anywhere, so treat her well.
He's good, right? I think he's also super cute, so. All right, so now I'm up, coming in with the closer. I hope you guys are ready. And my husband is very kind and quiet. I tend to be, I'm not mean, but I'm just loud. So I'm gonna do my best here. I also wanna give the heads up that I only got one comment in my public speech class in college, and that was that I talked too fast. And also in eighth grade, I got the privilege of doing a speech, and my principal at the time told me that was the best sentence he's ever heard. So, just throwing it out there, if I get ahead of myself or you guys can't understand me, you can throw up a little slow down Sarah. I may get distracted, can't guarantee it, and I may only slow down for that moment, but it might work. Okay, so when we were asked to put this message together, I mildly freaked out because, let's be honest, if you put yourself up here in front of all of you, it's a little intimidating. But I was also really excited because being connected to something I feel really strongly about. It's partly probably because I am an extroverted person, surprised, but I get my energy being around other people. And it also could be that we have felt firsthand the testimony of being connected, and our little guy is a product of that. But that is another story for another day, because I will lose it if I talk about that now. am I doing something wrong? Okay. It's also, though, that I am a connector. So I am someone who loves to watch people get together. I really love figuring out different personalities, which ones go best with other people, and I love seeing the power of connection. So how appropriate that we get to talk about the power of a connected life. And as a reminder, if you guys weren't here the past 2 weeks, you're just visiting, please make sure you go back and listen to the past two messages, because they've both been really inspiring, and Brad and I hope to do the same today. He did a great job sharing about connecting through service here at church and what it means for us to serve in the way and the capacity that God is directing us to serve, not just on what we feel responsible to serve. And my role here at NC4 currently involves events, so I'm going to be speaking a little bit more this morning on what it means to serve each other and being the hands and feet of God. So what does that look like? Being the hands and feet can take many roles. And if we think about the character of who Jesus was here on earth, he was someone who loved the unlovable. He was someone who spoke boldly in the face of opposition, and he was obedient even till death. And you may be thinking, well, how does that have to do with serving each other? But it pretty much has everything to do with serving each other, which leads me to my first point. You can't help or speak life into each other without first knowing where your life and your help comes from. So often we hear the phrase, hurt people, hurt people. Well, I believe the same is true for those who don't actually know where their identity comes from. Lost people cannot find others or even speak life into them without first knowing who they are. So how do we find that identity? Well, we've heard the messages over and over and over again about how getting to know God allows you to know yourself, and that's because that's the only way to do it. How do you get to know a new friend? How do you get to know a potential suitor? How do we get to know new guests here? We ask them questions. We find out who they are, what they care about, what they love, what they don't like, and we understand them better through that. So why is it so easily forgotten with God? I feel like we're often quick to drive up to the drive-thru window, give him our request, and expect it ready when we pull around that corner. And other times it just seems near impossible to sit, be quiet, ask God a question, and just... wait for a response. And I will be very honest, I'm someone that felt like eternity, that quiet moment right there. So I know the challenges of it, and this is where I like to pull out my inner grubby and say, or am I the only one? Am I it? Is that it? But some of the most influential time for me has truly come recently after Grubby challenged us to take that quiet time before one of our congregational prayer moments. And he just asked for 15 minutes. 15 minutes every day. That's all it took, 15 minutes. And I heard from God on a lot of things. I heard about what he thinks of me, who he calls me to be, what he's challenging me to walk through, even though it's scary. I have heard him tell me how to be a wife, how to be a mom now, how to be a friend, and how to be a daughter. And that's 15 minutes, and I got a wealth of information that I feel like has just put in my back pocket to pull out when I need it. And think about that in your day. What does 15 minutes look like? I know for me, if I'm being honest, that can be sitting in the Starbucks drive-thru on a busy day. And instead of getting frustrated, what could I do? I could sit there and talk to God a little bit. And in those moments, what we need to do is begin to ask God, who are you? Who is he calling you to be? What does he see in you that others need? And when I believe that he is ready and that he is more than willing to share with you this, but more than that. I feel like he is ready to give you vision, to give you instruction, to give you calling, to even identify maybe an area here at New Covenant that isn't being reached yet. And that's, again, with 15 minutes in a day. So this leads me to my next point. You can't only know who you are in Christ. You must also know how God sees those around you, to effectively serve them. Reminder, in order to be able to serve others, we must know who we are in Christ and who we are through Christ. So now that we know who we are, we can start to talk about what it means to serve one another. When we think about serving others, I think we tend to focus a lot on a need or a problem or something that needs to be solved or taken care of. And that is often the case, but there's this whole other part that sometimes gets missed. And that's the idea of everyday servanthood. What does it look like to do life together, serving each other every day? It doesn't have to equal a problem. It doesn't have to equal providing finances or sacrificing all that we are for someone else's life. These things are incredibly noble and incredibly needed sometimes. But everyday servanthood is simply doing life with each other with the mentality of others first and ourselves second. Now, I know when we hear that phrase, others first, ourselves second, we tend to get a little bit defensive about, well, if we aren't filled up, then we can't be poured out. If we don't have, then we can't give. And I am not suggesting that we wear ourselves thin or that we make ourselves broke in order to help someone. But if we go back to my first point of knowing who we are in Christ and hearing his voice, we will naturally start to move in what he is calling us to and who he is calling us towards. And similar to how Brad described the rest that can come in doing the things God is asking you to do, we can find refreshment. And get this, we can be filled up while we're being poured out when we are involved in the lives God has called us to. One thing to think about, if we are constantly feeling burnt out, if we're frustrated, if we start to get bitter towards someone else in our life, I think we should ask ourselves, am I trying to butt into God's work here? Or has God actually called me to invest in this relationship? And I know that this can sound harsh, but the truth is, if we are working in overdrive with people that God isn't asking us to work with, we're getting in his way of what he has called them to do. And inevitably, the only answer is we're gonna get burned out. Now, servanthood does equal some element of sacrifice. And this sacrifice could look different in all kinds of situations. It might look like giving up of your time to babysit for a friend. So that may have been my call. He's very cute, almost 5 months. Mom and dad might need a date. But seriously though, I mean, if you want to, just call me, it's fine. It may even be finding extra moments to stop, text a person who needs encouragement, or shocker, pick up the phone and talk to them. In today's world, sometimes that can make someone's day. It also may mean sacrificing your hands, though, in the situation, letting it go, giving it to God, and trusting that he will take care of it. Doing life with each other and serving someone, it means that you cry when others cry. It means you celebrate and rejoice when others celebrate and rejoice. It's laughing when you need a moment to smile. It's cooking when life gets hard. And can I get an amen on that? Because the last thing you want to do when you're going through something challenging is figure out dinner. That's right. It's the worst. So I also just want to say thank you to everyone who cooked for us when we had little Crosby, because made our day way better. But it also could mean things of importance, which is, you know, you stand in the gap for them when that bridge feels really long. It means that you take the weight off their shoulders when you see them being burdened. It means that you have faith for them when they are not capable of having faith in those moments. That is everyday servanthood. And it means you're being the church and you're participating as a single member in a large body. Everyday servanthood means standing side by side and letting God's vision create a course of action. And I want to quick read through Ephesians 4. You don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read through it. It's Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and each part as each part does its work." So when we serve each other in the way God is asking of us, we're actually maturing the body as a whole together and closer towards the fullness of Christ. And when we serve each other in the way God is asking of us, we get to grow and build the body up in love. I think that's all pretty exciting. And yet, here's the truth. People are messy. Life is messy. We are messy. However, the beauty comes from knowing it is not about us to make it all work. We cannot save people. We cannot change people. We can't make everything okay. Doesn't that take some weight off of our shoulders? Doesn't that just feel like a burden is already lifted? So let's just rest for just a second in that moment. We cannot do it. We are not capable of doing it. What are some of those things right now that you have been running and chasing after and feeling burdened to fix, to take care of, to do, to see come to completion? Think about those things and then just pass it on off to God, because that is the only person capable of taking care of those things. What we can do, though, is we can allow ourselves to be humble before the Lord. We can allow Him to breathe life through us. We can speak words out of His voice, and we can direct our hearts to those He is calling us to be a part of. So I want to leave you with an image. My dad does cross stitch, and he's really good at it. Growing up, we'd always see him kind of in the living room. I don't know any of the terms. I'm going to sound ridiculous, and he'll probably laugh at me. But, like, you know, he would stitch it down, and I'm sure there's a cross stitch in there somewhere, and then bring it back up. And he's really, really good at it. He recently did one for my nephew that's just, it's beautiful. But when the thing about cross stitch, if you look underneath of it, it just looks really full of chaos and disorder. All you see knots, you see different colors in weird spots. It doesn't look like an image at all, not cohesive. And that's pretty much us. We all have different strengths, we have different looks, we have different ways to go about life. But when you turn that piece over and you see the beautiful finished piece from above, that's God's view of us. He sees this whole picture, and He knows exactly what stitch goes in what place in order to create this beautiful finished look. So can we just stop proclaiming and focusing on these silly knots of life and instead allow God to guide our hearts and guide our hands and feet as we stitch together a beautiful tapestry of servanthood? So in closing, we were asked to put together some challenges for you guys. And without further ado, here are our challenges. A reminder, you only technically need to do one of the three, but if you're an overachiever and you feel like you just gotta go for it, you can do all three, that's fine. But if you're like me, you just want to pick one. First challenge here is, in your quiet time, ask yourself and God, in what areas am I serving? Where should you be serving? What could you be doing here at New Covenant? Where could you be connected? Do you see a place currently that is not being tapped into that you have a heart for? Some of these questions, just ask God, and again, wait for Him to give you a response. The second one is, rewatch or listen to that Pioneering People sermon series. This was a very recent sermon, but it really hones in on the point of the divine rest when you're saying yes and moving forward with God versus your own personal agenda. And number three, on your way out, go and pick up one of those Connect directories and get to know it. Read it, check out all of the opportunities, highlight those you may be interested in, and again, if there's something tugging at your heart and you don't see it, ask God to take that step and start to lead it. So now we're going to start closing. If someone from the team wants to come up and start playing, we're going to just take a little time here to pray and just understand a little bit more about what connection looks like. And if we're remembering what I talked about, connection to God is the number one important part of all of this. We cannot be connected to others. We cannot share with others if we are not first connected to who God is asking us to be. And we know that God is compassionate towards all of the brokenhearted here in this room. And the Bible says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He also welcomes them who come to Him. And this morning, what I've asked you to do is to go to Christ. So if you don't know Christ yet and you're not sure of what that even looks like, now's the time to just take a minute and just think about that. Is He tugging on your heart? Is He asking you for a relationship? Did something move in you today that said, I want to know this person that she's saying I need to identify with a little bit more? So we're just going to take 30 seconds. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and we're just going to take, you know, just a little bit of quiet time right now to just identify if that's you and if God's tugging on your heart. If you were one of those people that you feel, keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed, but if you're one of those people that were feeling that tugging, we're gonna say this prayer all together. But if that's you, just say it with everything in your heart. Say it with everything in your being and know that God is just sitting there waiting for you to say those words, for him to rush at you and cover you with his grace, his love, and his purpose for you in life. So now if we all could just repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from anything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and be set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.